26 of Divided by Werewolves. Today was one of the first. It was the first day actually swam in my pool because it's been cool, and today was warmer, and we finally had the heater up to where we could go in it. And I gotta say, it was kind of nice.
Yeah, I spent 3 hours in my mom's yard, and I feel like dog shit, so.
Slightly different situations for sure. Not to rub anything in, but I did clean though today too, so it wasn't all just like leisurely hanging out by the pool. I did clean, so there was that too. It's weird this year. I feel like normally I feel like we've opened it up before now, but it's just been so much cooler. Or it would get warm and then the temperatures would dip again, so we're like,
Yeah,
okay.
it's been unseasonably cold here lately, but not today. It's hot as fuck today, so of course today's the day I spent all day in the
Yeah, I do feel like that I'm gonna pay for this, and it's just gonna come. Either like hurricane season is just gonna kick our ass, or like it's just gonna be a really
yard.
terribly hot, or both. So,
Right.
who knows? All right, so I had every intention last weekend of going to see the new Godzilla movie, but then I forgot that Monkey Man came out that weekend, and I was like, when I was thinking about the comparative reviews, I was like, one of these movies is reviewing better than the other one.
Yeah, but I mean, I haven't seen Monkey Man yet, and I'm very excited to see it, but I still think Godzilla Kong was a good time.
I can't wait to see it. It's just it was one of those things where I kind of had to choose, and I felt more like, knowing how hard, what a hard time Dev Patel had getting this movie made, and how, it was like, he had been trying to get this thing made forever, and then started working on it, and then it got shut down, whatever, and finally Jordan Peele's production company, Monkey Paw, came in and kind of saved it. I was like, I kind of feel like this guy needs my money more
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
than the latest Godzilla movie, because they'll make another one of those for sure. So I went to the theater to see it, and it was fucking fantastic. He's a very talented filmmaker. He definitely, has the not just the action, hero chops in terms of like, being able to convincingly fight, but in terms of also, he does as a filmmaker, he did some really cool things, and this is not like I feel like, revenge movies have really taken on kind of a one note, John Wick type of thing of late, where it's, and we've talked about this, it's some, kind of middle-aged guy, and basically, actually not even John Wick. I mean, obviously it goes before John Wick. Like you really kind of have to me, you almost have to go back to Taken, right? Because Taken was the first movie that, well, first of all, that just started Liam Neeson's kind of the latter part of his career of making, some of them very good kind of action movies, some of them serviceable, but in terms of like older guy, you would not expect in an action movie because you cannot call The Phantom Menace an action movie. I'm sorry. I mean, my man got killed like immediately as soon as shit popped off, he was dead. Like no, but this idea of this guy, kind of a middle-aged actor, and then finding out that, oh, by the way, he had this past life, and now he's using the skills of that past life to kick some ass. Now, obviously, John Wick is where it really kind of, they then started building mythology and all that stuff around it. But then, we had all the John Wick movies, and then we had the one, oh fuck, with Saul Goodman there.
Oh, nobody.
Nobody, right? And it's like, it just seemed like that was kind of the way that action movies were somewhat going, and you kind of forgot about the kind of your classic, revenge thriller of somebody who had something bad happen to them and has basically been working their whole life, or working since it happened, to get back at the people who did it to them. And that's what this movie is. But it also feels also somewhat like an origin story, like almost like a superhero origin story, the way that, his character's name is just the kid. There's no name. And he basically he gets the shit kicked out of him in this underground fighting ring. Charlito Copley plays as like the promoter, and his job is just to get the shit kicked out of him, and he wears like a monkey mask. And the more that he bleeds, the more he gets paid. But this entire time, so I feel like if I kind of knew more about Indian politics, it would have been more impactful. But basically, he's one of, tens of millions of people who just are not seen by, the higher folks in society, the politicians and things like that. And so, when he was a kid, this kind of awful thing happened to him and his family, and he's been going after the people who did it. And part of what he has to do in order for that to happen is to get a job at this nightclub where all of like the movers and shakers, so to speak, go and hang out. And so he does that, and his first attempt at revenge, it's very similar to like if in like Batman Year One, the first day that Bruce Wayne goes out to fight crime and he gets the shit kicked out of him, and he falls off the fucking building and breaks his eye, and he's just like crawls bloody back to the mansion, and that's when he kind of has the vision. So it's kind of like that, in that he tries and fails and gets taken in by a group of people, and then kind of realizes that this fight that he's taking on is bigger than just him. There's a whole group of people, a whole class of people that have similarly been shit on by people in power. So what he then embarks on is not just for himself, but it's for them as well. So it almost felt more like an origin story, as because a lot of times some of these revenge films, I mean, if you think of something like Rambo, right, where it's like, or First Blood, right? First Blood more than Rambo, where it's like he's just a guy, he's just trying to get through town, right? He's not looking to start a cultural war. And then it kind of turned into, John Rambo being the symbol of the in Vietnam, the POW movement or whatever, and shit like that. But this is very, like, it's very grounded, it's very gritty. Dev Patel does make some very interesting choices when it comes to like the camera work and stuff. I mean, he did not, thankfully, use the old trick of these really super fast cuts so that you can't tell what's happening. I mean, when there's not as much a if you go into this expecting something like, not necessarily John Wick, but more like anything from John Wick 2 on, where it's just constant action, that's not what this is. And I think it helps because when the action does happen, it's brutal, it's gross, it's like it's you feel it like in your gut, like it's really, really well done.
That's kind of what I was hoping for from it. I tell you, the thing that just, from watching the trailer, the movie that I keep going back to, I obviously haven't seen it yet, but I just keep going back to like Blue Ruin, and it really made me want to rewatch Blue
Yeah,
Ruin.
me too. I was going to mention that. That's exactly in terms of like, this went horribly, for this person. Like
This poor guy who's just he wants, he's gonna get revenge. He's made his mind up, but he's really not good at it,
and that's
like
and it's funny because when I read before this movie came out, there was like, some listicle that was like, talking about like great revenge movies, and Blue Ruin was one of the ones that they talked about for that purpose, where it's just like, this is not, your typical revenge movie. This guy's a fuck up, in part because of what had happened to him or his
Sure.
family. And so,
Well, also, like, whether you have something horrible like that happen, if you're not a cold-blooded killer to begin with, it's
Exactly.
difficult,
Right. Yeah.
to wear that mask, so to speak, right?
Yeah, you're just a normal person, and then all of a sudden you're expected to what? Just like murder people in cold blood, regardless
Right.
of what they had done. So,
Yeah.
But and there was a bunch of other ones that they talked about that I that end up, but like Rolling Thunder and shit, a bunch of other kind of revenge movies that I've since put on my list so that I can. And actually, one of the ones they talked about was Revenge,
Yeah.
which is a fucking great,
That's a
that's a
great
great
movie.
movie. So
It's
I was.
a There's like this this one guy I watch on YouTube all the time, and he's been making a case for that movie since it came out about it being almost like a Crow sequel. Just because there's no way she should have survived, what
No,
happens to her,
we shouldn't
right?
have. She gets like impaled by the tree branch, right?
You're
And like
right.
falls off the cliff.
And he's like, this is like a Crow movie. It's just not a Crow movie, and he's not wrong. I mean, it really does kind of play that way.
But I definitely need to watch that movie again,
God
because
damn, man, that sequence, the blood smeared sequence, chase sequence at the end, so good.
But it was, I mean, and this was really well done. And I mean, and it's one of those movies where I think that it just kind of goes to show that, like, I mean, and you could tell, like, that this guy likes, I mean, he's well versed in action movies. I mean, whether it's like, The Raid or, like Blue Ruin or, I mean, like a bunch of, obviously the John Wick movies, the way that some of the fight scenes are choreographed. But, I mean, he definitely knows, he knows his stuff.
Yeah,
And it
that's
just
awesome.
goes to show that, like, sometimes when you give filmmakers a chance, to make something, even if it's not an area they typically play in, that
Yeah.
doesn't, I mean, taking a chance on folks is ultimately, kind of pays off. I mean, I don't know financially how the movie's been doing. I typically don't tend to follow that kind of stuff.
Right.
But it was really, I mean, it was really well done. Like I can't wait to watch it again because I'm sure there's stuff that I missed.
Yeah, I mean, outside of the fact that the trailer's amazing, like honestly, man, I love the Green Knight so fucking much, like so much more than I expected to.
I love
Like
him.
anything he's in, I'm gonna be in at this point. Like I'm just like, yep, sign me up. Like anything he does, like from now on. So that's part of kind of the reason I was even, kind of stoked for this anyway, but then that trailer dropped and I was just like, holy shit.
What's funny is when I went to go to the movie, I was waiting in line behind someone, this couple who were also buying a ticket to it, and I'm sitting there and I'm looking to see just to make sure, okay, yeah, 4:10, and then I'm looking at it and I'm like, holy shit, is this movie's on two screens? Like the movie theater that
Wow.
I go to, well, hold up. The movie
Oh,
theater that
okay.
I go to, it's a small theater. It's got 10 screens. They don't do two screens of anything. And I was like, why is this on two screens? It just happened that the placard for the first Omen was looked almost exactly the same. It was like a red background with
No,
like
okay.
like the nun or something standing in the foreground, and it just looked exactly like this. So,
I've heard that's surprisingly good too, by the way.
me
I don't
too.
know. I'll watch it whenever it comes out, for at home. I'm not going to the theater for it, but I hope to be pleasantly surprised by that. I mean, it's Blumhouse, so who the fuck knows?
Yeah, it's I don't know if you saw this, but the PR campaign, because it's also a Disney, it's like Disney is the parent
Yeah.
company of whomever made it. They decided to send out because one of the things that factors heavily in the movie is like these children's drawings of like demons and shit. So
Okay.
they decided to just send out the children's drawings from the movie with no context whatsoever to various people, including someone in like, I don't know, Montana or Missouri or something, who's like running for office. And they ended up like submitting a complaint to the police because they thought, you know, unfortunately, in today's political climate, they thought they were somebody was sending them, you know, like, I'm going to kill your kids. Because it
Oh
wasn't
my
until
God.
like a week later that then Disney was like, JK, you know, come see our movie. I'm like, oh my God. Like, you can't do shit like that.
That's
Like,
amazing.
You can't just send like fucking creepy ass children's drawings and just
I'll
be
say,
like,
wait,
with no
like,
context.
it's Jared Leto on the fucking the campaign for this
Yeah,
movie.
that's right. Exactly. I was like, oh my God. Like, does that person still have a job on Monday? Like,
Right.
no. But yeah, it was really good. I highly recommend it. You know, when you get a chance. And they had some pretty decent trailers too. Like, when I was watching, like, I was actually surprised at, I've not been a fan of the Bad Boys franchise really since the first one. I think the first one was
Oh.
amazing. The second one I wasn't a fan of. Third one I thought was not great. Better than the second one, or but
Right.
you know, it's just. But when I watched the trailer, I was like, okay, wow, this actually seems like it would be a fun watch. So you know, I'm kind of looking forward to that, and then I'm really looking forward to the Fall Guy. That just seems like
Really?
that's going to be. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it'll be anything like the TV show. I mean, I loved that show when I was a kid. Probably shouldn't. It was probably terrible.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember that it was a show and I used to watch it, but I couldn't tell you a fucking thing about it.
Yeah, but I mean, the movie just looks like a lot of fun. It looks, you know.
I mean, I also used to love the Dukes of Hazzard, so take that
well,
into
and
consideration.
that's the thing, right? It's like you revisit these properties at your own peril. Like, you have a choice to make. Do you want to see
Right.
if it's any good, or do you want to hold on to beloved
hold on to
childhood
that memory,
memories?
yeah. Right.
Oftentimes, you can't do both.
Right, right.
So that's actually a pretty decent segue, because I the internet is aflame with folks just completely loving X-Men 97, and I have to be honest, and I in 1997 I had just gotten married and was living in Seattle, so watching an X-Men cartoon was not very high on my list of things to do.
Yeah.
So I've never actually I've seen the intro, and I've seen, you know, the picture of Logan holding the photo and have
Yeah.
it be, you know, memified, or however the hell you say it,
Right, right, right.
you know, and everything. But so recently, you know, the X-Men 97 started up on Max, and there was some kind of weirdness at first, because the guy, the showrunner, who just basically right before the show started, just essentially left the show, and we don't know why. He's not talked about why.
Well, I heard he got fired.
Well, that's the thing.
Because
They just say
they found out he had an OnlyFans or something.
That's the rumor, but
oh, okay. That's just rumor. Okay.
I don't know if it's been confirmed. He
gotcha.
He obviously hasn't said anything, and obviously.
Well, I don't know. This is what I read on the internet. So
you know,
if the internet said it, it must be true.
Disney isn't going to be like, hell yeah.
You're right.
Like,
right.
Kids, ask your mom what OnlyFans is, you know.
Right, right, right.
So, yeah, I was going to say, it's not Max, it's Disney. Disney owns everything now. Silly me.
Well, you know, that's whatever. You know, if you told me that Disney owned Max, I'd have been like, yep, probably. I don't fucking know.
They probably will soon.
Yeah.
David Zaslav is going to be like, just sell it to the mouse. I don't care. He can own Superman. Yeah. Who gives a shit? Can we get tax write off? Yep. Okay, cool. Good job. Pack it up, folks. We're going home.
Yeah.
But X-Men 97 has started, and from what I've read, folks are like seriously digging on it. And this past episode, which neither one of us has watched, just want to be clear, apparently just ripped the internet, tore
yes.
it asunder.
It's what got me to start the show. I was going to wait till it was kind of done and just like binge the whole thing, but yeah.
So how is it?
It's so I'm coming at this from the perspective of someone who watched and loved that show very much. That was one of the first modern kind of examples of, you know, outside of Batman, the animated series was comic books coming to life for me, you know, when it, because I feel like it was early 90s when it started. I don't know how long it ran for. Obviously, it ended in 97, I guess. But that
Yeah.
and then the Spider-Man show that came also from Fox
Oh, yeah,
not long after.
that show, I remember. I feel like I remember that show.
It was very good, but it was also like, you know, the first kind of a serialized sort of comic, literally a comic book come to life, a thing where it's Batman, you know, we're all for the most part self-contained episodes, or you know, they'd have a two-parter here and there.
Yeah.
Like they ran full-on fucking storylines in X-Men and in Spider-Man, like
Oh, okay.
where you'd watch and it would be not necessarily a whole season, but they would run like storylines week after, you know, weekly. And so I was super into it. And yeah, so this is basically this show picks up almost as if it's a new season. From where the original ended,
Really?
so yeah, so it's the art style is very similar. You know, it's different. They've messed with some of the character designs, but I mean, shit, they used to do that anyway, right? Like, you know, that fourth or fifth season of the animated series Batman, you know, they fucking
They
they had
changed, yeah.
undead Catwoman for some reason, and they
Yeah.
really changed a lot of the characters design and stuff. So this kind of feels like that a little bit. It's just like a new season and they changed a few things here and there. But I mean, the voice actors, they all sound for the most part similar. And this picks up, Xavier's dead and Scott's kind of trying to pick up the mantle, like, you know, trying to rally the X-Men and kind of, you know, keep everything together. Jean's pregnant. So he's kind of dealing with like, she's like, maybe we should take some time away. And he's like, yo, I can't because Charles is, you know, whatever. You know, Charles is dead. I got to keep the dream alive and stuff like that. And then,
By the way, our baby's just going to be a time-hopping supervillain anyway, so who gives a
well,
shit?
that's that. So the spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen the first two, but she has the baby in part two,
God.
in episode two. And I laughed until I fucking cried
Oh, really?
at some of the shit going on in the hospital. But so it's like, so the first thing that made me laugh was, so the X-Men are off dealing with something. I can't even fucking remember. It's not that it's bad. I'm just like, I in my brain, I just can't get past what happens like when Jean's water breaks, because she's at the mansion with Logan and everybody else is gone. So she walks into the room and she's like, Logan, he's coming. And fucking Wolverine pops the claws and he's like, who, Apocalypse? And I lost it. It was so goddamn funny. And then they get to the hospital, and so the others, they get Scott on the phone, like, yo, it's happening, you know, need to come. All the X-Men show up to this hospital. And the doctor is refusing to deliver the baby because he's a bigot against mutants.
Oh, okay.
So in order to bypass this, they have Rogue take off her glove and touch him to absorb his medical knowledge.
So she can deliver the baby.
So she can deliver the baby. I was fucking dying. I was fucking dying. It's so fucking
She's
funny.
like, I got this sugar.
Basically, like, she touches the guy and she's like, get this woman a room, get her an IV. And I'm like, you had to touch a doctor to know that she needed a room and a fucking IV.
Boil some water, get some towels, that's all I know.
Right. But then, yeah, so at the end of the episode, they have the baby and they're like, you know, we got to come up with a name. And they're like, and she's like, I was thinking Nathan. So I guess it's Cable, whatever.
Oh,
But
okay.
anyway. But yeah, it's very good. It's very, very, I don't know, maybe to a fault, very faithful to the original show. So it's again basically just like a new season. And then, like I said, I don't know what happens in five, but it completely broke the internet last week, and I'm so fucking scared it's going to get ruined that I'm probably going to try to knock those other three episodes out tonight when we get done. So,
yeah.
But I mean, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, awesome. And then you also watched Fallout, which no one was more shocked than me to find out that show was actually supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, I've only seen the first episode so far. I'm going to try to get to the rest of it this week, probably. I'm watching a lot of hockey, and that's kind of my problem right now. It's
not a problem.
It's the end of the season, and we're getting, you know, the playoff start next week, so that a lot of teams are making that last kind of push to get those last few wild card spots and stuff.
Yeah,
and
this is when I switch from following the Kraken to following the Lightning. So
Yeah. So the Flyers were not mathematically, they're still not technically, but they're basically out. But I was kind of watching, you know, their final push, stuff like that. So, but anyway, yeah, I watched the first episode of Fallout, which in itself was like, I think 86 minutes. So essentially a movie. And from what I can tell and from what I've read, it basically looks like it's going to follow kind of three separate storylines, and I assume they're going to intertwine. But you got it starts off with this girl who is, you know, she wants to, you know, like the vault dwellers, right? They're these, like, you know, they went in the vaults in like the 50s, and they've kind of maintained that 50s lifestyle and stuff. And
right,
you know, they're tasking themselves with restoring humanity and this and that, and she's not found a mate, you know, in her vault. So she's being interviewed to go to this other vault, and there's like this arranged marriage. She gets granted, and there's an arranged marriage eventually, and this and that. And then it's, so, you know, as things are wont to do in the world of Fallout, they get attacked by raiders, and her father gets captured. He was the, I forget what they call him, but the leader or whatever.
Overseer or something like that.
Overseer, yeah, I think that's what they call him. So he gets kidnapped, and so she, after the slaughter, this is like way more adult than I expected. But
which makes sense, though. I mean, it is a Fallout game.
Yeah, it does. But I was just honestly kind of shocked at how adult it got, like right within like the first few minutes. So anyway, yeah. So you follow her as she heads out into the wasteland by herself to try to find her father, and then there's a guy who is in the, I guess, the whatever they call the program for the Brotherhood of Steel. It's almost like the Marines, sort of.
Yeah.
And he's in like boot camp and stuff, and he wants to be a you know, one of the members of the Brotherhood. So you're following this guy, and then there's our main character, my main character, Walt Goggins, as the ghoul, and so the show starts with him, you know, and his daughter, and he's a normal guy, and when the bomb, the show starts with the bomb going off, and he's I guess he's like a TV personality or something, or he used to be, like this Western actor, and he does like birthday parties and shit now, and so he's doing one of those, and you know, he has a horse, and people are taking pictures, and then he's talking to his daughter, and they're getting ready to leave, and then the bomb goes off. And so that's kind of that's probably the first 15 minutes or so, and then it flashes forward, you know, to the vault, and all that kind of stuff happens. But man, it's Fallout through and through. It really is. It's,
you know, now that I think of it,
very, very well done.
In Fallout 3, you were leaving to go find your father, and didn't Liam Neeson do the voice of your father in that?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, man, we have just fucking unintentional,
full circle.
Unintentional synergy left and right tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
I you know, it's interesting because Fallout was, so, you know, back in the day, believe it or not, you could trade in PC games at GameStop.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
You know, I know it seems like sacrilege now, the idea that, you know, because they were with piracy, that folks were so,
right,
you know, have their panties all in a bunch. But yeah, you could download, or not download, you could trade in PC games at GameStop. And I had a bunch of games, and I never had really traded stuff in before. So I was kind of like, holy shit, I can trade all this stuff in. And they're like, yeah. And so I was like, all right, cool. Like, I'm, you know, so I decided that I would get, so I got, like, because I was really big into, you know, like, fantasy RPGs, you know, and you know, obviously like Baldur's Gate and you know, anything with like that kind of isometric, you know, kind of point of view that was like a fantasy RPG, I would play, you know, Diablo and whatnot. And so, I was like, all right, well, I'm going to use this money. 'Cause like I bought like Quake 2 and I was like, I'm gonna use this money to buy a game in a genre that I, you know, would never buy before. And it was Fallout 2. And so I bought it and I fucking loved it. I was just like, oh my God, this is the most amazing game. Like when I realized that like, oh, I don't have enough money to buy stuff from this vendor, but if I kill them, I can just take everything they have. I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. Like, yeah, I mean, I can't buy stuff from them in the future, but if I don't plan on coming back here, then who cares? You know? So, you know, that just that idea that that was something that could happen. And so I loved Fallout 2. And Fallout 3, I played the shit out of that game. I loved
Yeah,
it to
three. That was my
death.
first one.
Fallout 4, I just bounced completely off of because of all of the, you gotta come back and fix the settlement. And I'm like, I don't want to fix the settlement. Like,
I never finished it because of the base building.
yeah,
I
like
hate
I
base
just,
building.
I don't, I hate that shit. I don't care about any of it. I, you know, it to me is. It's like if I wanted to do base building, there, you know how many games there are that have some aspect of base building and resource management in it? Like a lot. And I don't need one of them to be Fallout. I just want to go and shoot super mutants and whatnot.
Well, yeah, I always want the first thing I do in any Fallout after you get through the initial shit is I want to find where the Brotherhood are because I want a fucking power armor suit. Like that's what I do in Fallout, and then I do the other shit after that. But step one for me is power armor.
And it's like I kept getting, you know, finding things in like Fallout 4 was like, you know, like I was just kept getting like rad poisoning, and I just was like, my God, this game seems like actively hostile to making any sort of progress. And you know, by then too, like,
That's exactly why I bounced so hard off of Breath of the Wild. Same fucking thing.
yeah, and it's like by then too, like I had already played Skyrim and a lot of Skyrim, and I was just like that kind of, you know, Bethesda style. And this is exactly why I bounced so hard off of Starfield, is I was just like, my God, I'm kind of over this. But that being said, so I recently, because I saw like GOG, you know, Good Old Games, they remastered. Well, they didn't remaster. What they did is they fixed. There was okay. So Alpha Protocol, which was a you know, Obsidian Software spy game, from 2010, had been on Steam, but then there's one song that plays as part of a boss fight against this Russian guy named some Victor Brako, I think his name is. And he's like an 80s aficionado, so it's some 80s song, and they couldn't get the licensing deal worked out, so the game got pulled, which is why, like, if you look for like Steam codes for Alpha Protocol prior to like a month ago, they were selling for like $80. Well, Good Old Games, because they're, you know, their whole mission is that they try to bring back games that are, you know, in danger of being, what do you call it, you know, forgotten. Because when you think of all of the games, all the console games, PC games, that, you know, even just this week, when kind of the thing that came out is that how, you know, Ubisoft is removing the crew from libraries of people who own it, right? So it's like there's all of these games that are just going away. Because the publishers, for whatever reason, whether it's music licensing or whatnot, they don't want to take the time or don't have the ability, although you can't tell me based on the money that these fucking people make that they don't have the ability, you know, don't keep the games going. But good old Games stepped in and they figured out a way. It only took about a year, maybe a year and a half, and they figured out a way to get Alpha Protocol up and running. And so when I saw the documentary on them kind of doing it and kind of what their mission was, I was like, okay. I spent, it was like $18 for me to buy it, and I've started replaying it, and it is a fucking blast. It's still janky as fuck, for sure. Like there's no doubt about it. The jank is strong with this one. you know, but the thing about Alpha Protocol that I had forgotten about was just how flexible the dialogue system was. And then how that affected, the way that the game played, because it's not like a BioWare game where, you know, it's like, you know, kind of kick the puppy, pet the puppy, right? Where it's like you're either like a stone cold, just murderous asshole, or you're the savior of humanity, right? Like
yeah.
There was, you know, the way that they do these games is more like, you know, your conversation choices, and it's not like what do you say? It's like, are you suave? Are you, you know, are you what do you call it? You know, professional? Are you pissed off? You know, things like that affect how you talk to people, and that in turn affects how you progress through the level. And you might get some people that are happy with you. So, like, a perfect example is there's this one guy. So I decided when I do this run through, I am only picking conversation options for the X button. So the X button is suave, sarcastic. So immediately everyone hates me, and they should. I have a full beard. I have a newsy cap on. I didn't realize I could change my clothes. So for the entire first mission, I'm wearing street clothes. and anytime anybody says anything to me, I'm like openly sexually harassing them, or I'm being a sarcastic asshole and everyone hates me, and it was fucking amazing. I was just this quippy, just lecherous dipshit, and it was great. Well, the other thing I learned as I played is that the X button is always the option to execute someone.
Oh, shit.
So pretty much every opportunity I had to save someone and then maybe have them as a handler later on did not get used because the X button made me kill them. And at one point, this one guy, I pissed him off so much, his original plan was to leave and get away. And I pissed him off so much that I made him fight me and then I killed him. I don't remember that in my first playthrough, because in my when I first played this game, I would have played it trying to like maximize, you know, relationships with people,
right?
And I probably would have tried to go, okay, let's maybe we can get, you know, get something out of this guy, get him talking, you know, whatever. Made him so mad. Every time I would say something, he was just like, you know, reputation minus one, right? And it was like, also got down to like openly hostile, and I was like, oh shit. And it's, you know, and it's one of those things where I had completely forgotten about this game, but replaying it, it's such a blast. And I'm gonna go through and do the same thing, saying I'm only gonna do the professional or only gonna do and see how that goes. And I mean, I'm not gonna do like roll like one into the other, but you know, one of the things this Hall of Fallout, this with the Fallout show coming out, all of the games are on sale. So I already have Fallout 2. I got that free through like Prime Gaming. But like Fallout New Vegas was a game that I've tried to get into twice now, and I haven't been able to. And
oh, okay.
When I was kind of reading more about it, people were saying like people love the beginning of Fallout 3 and hate the ending. Mm-hmm. And they hate the beginning of Fallout New Vegas, but they love the ending. And if you can get through the beginning of New Vegas, it's a fantastic game. So they had...
Yeah, I love New Vegas.
I bought it today. It's another Obsidian game. Apparently, I just finished Pillars of Eternity, which is an Obsidian game. The jank was strong with that one, too. but they had on Steam, it was New Vegas and all of the DLC and it was $5. And I was like, all right. So,
yeah, it's on sale on the Xbox too. I think it was like
yeah.
$2 or $3. Yeah, they're definitely worth that. I mean,
But,
for
you
sure.
know, the thing about the Steam Deck, what I'm finding is that it, and also with the Steam Deck, there's mods. Like, it's got mod support. So, you know, I guess a lot of people, there's people put a ton of work into different mods and stuff for New Vegas. So, I don't know if I want to go down that rabbit hole, but, you know, the option's there. But, you know, the thing about the Steam Deck that I'm finding is that I really do love it for playing older games that either I played back in the day and have just forgotten about, or maybe I passed on, and like New Vegas, and then you can get them like dirt cheap. And I think too, it's because like I don't have to take up a space on my Xbox and then have to go through the whole remotely and all that shit. So I'm looking forward to replaying Fallout 2. I know at some point I think Epic Game Store is going to have the original Fallout. I think I tried playing that years after playing Fallout 2, and it didn't work for me as well. And then Fallout Tactics I was not a fan of at all. But yeah. So I'm you know, it's Alpha Protocol, man. I'm fucking digging it. And also I kind of looked at it like, you know, I feel like it's important for these games to be available. Like, there are so many games, like when you talk about, like, you know, Nintendo shutting off the Wii U store, shutting off, you know, it's like there's so many games that, like, when you consider, you know, how much time and money and effort, it's just like movies, right? Like, there are, and I get it, right? Like, I mean, when you consider how many books have been written since the printing press came out, and we don't know about most of them, you know, but there's a difference between not having a way of saving a novel in 1910 and not having a way of saving a movie or an album or a game in 2024. Like, storage is fucking cheap, right? And if it doesn't hurt anything to keep a storefront open, it costs money. That's the problem, right? But it also doesn't cost any money. Like, you can't, I don't understand how it would cost money if you're a studio. Like, I have so many movies on my, like a perfect example, one of the revenge thrillers that I wanted to watch was oh shit, what's it called? Remember My Name. It's from 1978. This movie is not available at all. Period. Nowhere. It's not available. It is not streaming anywhere. It's not rentable anywhere. And it's basically about this woman who basically starts arrives in this town after being in prison and starts harassing Anthony Perkins and his wife, seemingly for no reason, but then you find out like he actually did some pretty nasty shit to her. It's supposed to be like an absolutely amazing, you know, revenge thriller that you can't watch. Why not? Why? What is it about this movie that makes it so that some streaming service doesn't want to put it on there? But when you look at some of the shit that's on there, you're like, you know, you seriously, like, it's just storage is cheap. And all I can assume is there's some licensing thing they can't figure out, maybe who owns it, and they go, eh, who cares? And it's just, it's so bothersome. So when I saw the thing for GOG, I was just like, $18, like, and to say, like, yeah, I appreciate that this is the stuff that you're doing. I want you to keep doing that. Like, that's a no-brainer. And that really was, because I was kind of like on the fence. And then I was just like, dude, like, it's $18. What do you care? You know, but, yeah. So, but, you know, the big news this past week is that Onslaught came into the light, or Enderlight,
Oh,
you know,
yes.
hit for Destiny 2. So, you know, when we found out that the season was going to be 97 weeks long, you know, they said, well, don't worry, we're going to have some kind of interstitial stuff. And they did that with Riven's Wishes, but they really weren't like, you know, I mean, it was helpful. I got exotics that I had never gotten before, But those weren't right. really like you could.
Well, it was an indie thing new. It, was the
it
same
wasn't
shit.
Anything new, right?
Yeah.
And so, but Into the Light dropped, and in it dropped their wave base, their horde mode. But the thing that did it for me, and I texted you for this, was that intro movie that
yep.
they did. Like, and this is the thing about this game that makes it, as much as people get jaded, and as much as people for clicks make these videos about is Destiny
dead game,
you know, yeah. the people, if you take the management of Bungie out of it, right? The people, because, you know, as anybody who's ever been the boots on the ground knows, your decisions as someone trying to get your shit done day to day are very far removed from the people making the big decisions.
Right.
The people making the big decisions, sometimes their heart's in the right place, and sometimes it absolutely is not. And so if you take away all of the who is Bungie being sold to this week, or what does right. Sony want out of them, or how is it being mismanaged by upper management, you take that out of it, and you just look at something like Into the Light and the movie that was done and the Onslaught, you can tell that the people, the boots on the ground people making this game, in my opinion, still very much believe in it.
Absolutely.
Like they very much love this game. They know that there's a community of people, the majority of which are still very much enamored with this game. And all they want out of it is for it to succeed and for it to continue to be the thing that they look forward to jumping into every Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that opening movie hit, I was just like, I don't want to be crying here in my couch, but I will, because it just encapsulates this idea of like, what is a Guardian? And it's like, and it makes you, like, you start to think about what has this game meant? This game has been a way to, you know, hang out with your friends. It's been a way to blow off steam. It's been a way to just, you know, what have just these really thrilling moments to maybe push through and accomplish, you know, something that you didn't think your skill level would let you do. Like, yeah. It's been a way to meet people. It's been a way to come together and maybe join a community. Maybe, you know, kick money towards charities because someone's streaming it, or you yep. know they're offering a T-shirt to help with you know this, you know, wildfires or whatever. Like it's not just a game, because if it was just a game, I would have uninstalled it years ago, right?
Yeah.
Like
right.
it's
yeah.
not just a game, and it's not it's something that is. It goes beyond that, and like that intro movie was just like, man, they fucking get it. The people making this, they fucking get it.
Yeah.
And I'm yep. sure it fucking hurts them immensely for people to think that they are somehow unreceptive to, you know, folks being disappointed, pissed off, whatever you want to call it, at Final Shape being delayed. Or
right.
whatever, like, and I just was like, you know, it kind of made like, it also, it kind of made me feel bad for them too, because I was like, knowing how much shit that they get, but goddamn, if Onslaught isn't just fun as fucking hell,
it is, man. For something that, you
it's
know,
pretty simple.
Yeah, it is, and it's also, in concept, it feels like something that's very samey.
Yeah.
To things we've already had before, like Escalation Protocol and things like that.
Right.
But somehow it doesn't feel the same. Like it does just enough to differentiate itself. And maybe to your point, maybe I've just been so thirsty for new stuff to do that it, you know,
I mean, Escalation Protocol to me, it's like, I don't know. It was very much a rinse and repeat type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this, the way that, like, I mean, you're kind of doing the same thing, but then there's, like, all these little, like, mini objectives. Like, okay,
right.
this is a speed wave, you know, or, oh, you know, this big fucking dude is going to warp in right at the battery.
Right.
And you're like, you know,
just on the bombs, like things, yeah, destiny things, but yeah,
destiny things. But then, you know, it's kind of, you know, remixed, so to speak.
You're right. Yes.
You know, so it, you know what? Honestly, when I was playing it, I never once thought of Escalation Protocol. You know, even though I played that a bunch,
right?
Because, I mean, there was like certain weapons or whatever. And even here, like, I mean, this has weapons too. Like, that was the other big thing, is they're bringing back all of these weapons. That I love when you're going to the Hall of Champions and you're walking. It's like you're walking backstage, and there's.
I love Hall of Champions. Like, I absolutely love.
I know, and it's like, and there's Space Grandma, and she's like, exactly. Yeah, I'm just like cataloging my decorations.
She's just chilling by the fucking Festival of the Lost Tree and shit with a notebook.
She's like, how many pumpkins do we have? Here's all of our candles. You know, here's
and then
our...
there's that weird hidden room that you can go into that has all of the faction stuff in it, like the
dead
shit like that. I just so many Easter eggs in the Hall of Champions, man. You could tell who made that just had a fucking blast.
Right. And even the Brave weapons, like, I mean, I don't really care that much about it. I mean, to be perfectly honest, like, I mean, I know some of these things is, you know, I mean, maybe I just didn't, you know, I mean, honestly, like, I feel like, you know, some of the guns that have come out since are maybe better, but it's kind of fun to have them back. And then the quests that you have to do to get them, they're pretty manageable.
Right.
But, you know, like, the thing about Onslaught that I like is, too, is the way that they kind of break it up. It's like, hey, if you just want to do, you know, 10, you know, 10 levels, easy peasy, you know, you bounce to the pyramid ship twice, you fuck some shit up, like, yeah, we got you, but you can also try to do 50. So, you know, Friday night, I was like, all right, I'm going to settle in. I'm gonna, you know, I had a weekly bounty where I had to do 20 waves. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, we're just gonna ride this. And we were doing really well. Not gonna lie, we were doing really well. We got to level 30. Level 30 is when, you know, once everybody.
That's when it ratchets
when,
up.
Right, when, you know, you know, if everybody goes, then you're done. And we handled 30 like a fucking champ. Mm-hmm. And then we go to the pyramid ship and we handled 35 like a fucking champ. And I was like, all right. I was like, we fucking got this. We're going all the way to 50. And then we went to the pyramid ship on level 40. And I think all of us collectively felt as if our strategy of rushing forward to take on the enemies would be valid. And it was, I want to say, it was, I went, oh, he's down. And then I was down.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was an immediate rinsing. Yeah. Like, it just was, you know, like, and I was like, wow. You know, so it's like, it very much does not fuck around once it gets to that point. And in retrospect, yeah, I mean, I should have, we all should have maybe, you know, been a little, you know, like, I mean, especially, you know, the one of the missions in the pyramid ship, it's a big room. You don't need to run forward. You can hang back and pick your shots. And we did not do that. But I mean, it was it's great. I've been having a blast with it. You know, I'm gonna get all the weapons. I'm gonna hopefully raise, you know, my stuff with Shax, because I want that shader.
I want super black, yeah.
You know,
for sure.
And that's more of a call to me, you know, than the weapons, to be perfectly honest.
I do like that. This is a way for people who maybe never raid to get some raid weapons, if nothing else.
Yeah. Just like I'd like to do the exotic mission to get Whisper.
Yeah, Whisper.
You know, I never
Boy.
Did that.
Oh, I did.
Right, and I know it was difficult.
It was. It was fun though, man. I've got this weird nostalgia for it, despite the fact that God, it was frustrating back then.
So yeah, so you know, I'm and then just like. What do you call it? The what's the other one that they're doing? The
0 Hour.
Yeah. I don't know if I ever had that one.
That was fun too. Running from Trevor in that hallway. It was good stuff.
But you know, and it's one of those things where it does, you know, kind of make me feel somewhat, you know, like okay, maybe Final Shape is gonna, you know, end up being okay. You know,
I think Final Shape is gonna be the Taken King of Destiny 2. I think it's gonna be the one that, when it's all said and done, people are still gonna be talking about it. Yeah. Same way that they do, you know, Forsaken. I mean, it's like, for the longest, it's been that Forsaken was the Taken King of Destiny 2, and honestly, I feel like Final Shape is going to be the one, you know, the I think they're going to do the Light versus Darkness saga some justice with this ending. I hope they do, but I really feel like, I'm optimistic that they're gonna stick the landing.
Yeah, yeah. Because I mean that gameplay trailer that they showed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Prismatic just looks amazing.
Yeah.
This idea.
I love that they're just like, it's we're 10 years in. Let's just break the fucking game, the sandbox, let people have fun. You know.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I mean, because how many times have you thought to yourself, my God, it would be really useful, especially, and to me, what kind of, it almost feels like this season, looking at the way that the seasonal artifact worked, right? Like I currently have the build I've been using has been, it's a stasis build, and I'm running a strand autogun as a primary, because that way when I pick up orbs, I get unraveling rounds. And then I have my secondary is solar, because the combo of like being radiant and stasis works off of each other.
Mm.
And then like blowing up crystals sends things to freeze other dudes. So it's like I'm pulling from like three different subclasses in the seasonal artifact. And it's almost like they and you could tell that they want you to do that because of the way all of the perks in the seasonal artifact kind of play off of each other. So
right.
It's almost like, you know, they've kind of been leading us to this point to say like you know, break out of this. Like, we want you to stop thinking of, you know, your abilities in these subclass silos. Figure out how you can pull in different damage types with your weapon and your subclass and play off of each other. Almost like they're like, well, it's coming, so here's a little practice.
Right, yeah. You know, right.
Here's the opportunity. And it's fucking fun as hell, man. It is so much fun to, like, you know, throw a grenade, freeze a bunch of guys, have unraveling rounds, drop a grenade in, blow them up, and then, like, start... and then you get radiant, and then you just switch to a... You know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah.
All just works really well. So it'll be... Like, and I remember seeing somebody post on Reddit saying, seasonal artifact mods is not build crafting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, build crafting is taking fragments, aspects, and mods, not artifact, but mods and coming up with build. And it's almost like that person, I could just see them slowly just like nodding as they watched. Because, I mean, this is true build crafting, right? Like this is you being able to put together, you know, your exotics, your subclass, your aspects, your fragments, all of that shit together, and coming up with a build that is truly, you know, is personal to you, is unique to you, if that's what you want. And there are people are going to come up with just the fucking craziest shit.
Yeah, and I can't wait.
I mean, and it's going to be amazing. I mean, yeah, it's going to be so much fun. Like, although I will say, it really does make me wish tethering was not tied to a grenade.
Yes. All right, yes.
Because I would love to be able to, like, throw a freeze grenade and then tether into, like, five frozen, you know, acolytes or whatever, or thralls, and just destroy them. Like, that would be absolutely amazing. So, excuse me. Have to edit this out in post.
That is the pepper vodka.
Yeah, no, it's well, down the wrong pipe. Yeah, so it's exciting to see. You know, I'm really looking. I mean, I was looking forward to Final Shape to begin with, but now kind
Yeah,
of
for sure.
seeing, you know, how this is going. Yeah, I can't wait. So, but yeah, so. And let's see, I'm not sure. I'm trying to think. I mean, it seems like there's like a bunch of stuff coming out in terms of movies. This summer's kind of coming in pretty hot, so
Yeah. I've like I said before, I've been enjoying hitting the theater solo here lately, so I'm thinking I'm gonna do that a good bit this summer. Just even if I'm just mildly interested in something, I've been enjoying going to the theater and get for the first time in a while, so.
And the new Pearl Jam record hits next Friday, so I'm very, very
Nice.
excited for that. So me and all my fellow olds will just be like
Hey man, I—that's the other thing I've been doing a lot of here lately. I've been buying a lot of vinyl, so I've been buying a lot of what I consider classics. So I've got some Alice in Chains. I've got some that type of stuff. I definitely need to add some Pearl Jam. Like fucking, let me get Vitalogy on vinyl, dude. Oh
Oh
my
yeah.
God, yeah, it's over.
I think they were putting out a, I want to say they were putting out like a clear for the new record, but I could
Nice.
be wrong. So, yeah. So I'm very excited for that next week, and then I'm going to go see them twice in September. So,
Oh, that's awesome.
yeah. So, good times, good times. All right. Well, we'll have plenty of to talk about next show, that is for sure. As we round the bases and head on our way to episode 200,
All right.
which depending on the way we go, that might hit when Final Shape does. So we'll
Yep.
see how that lines up with the calendar.
Ooh,
I'm
that's
sure I
what's
could
up.
call up somebody from Destiny and just be like, "Hey, you've never heard of us, and the
I
podcast doesn't do good numbers, but we'd love to have you on the show." Fuck it, I should
was
just try.
gonna say Jesse that I do damage per with every once in a while. He interviewed a guy that was a former Bungie employee, so might have an in there.
There you go. I'll have to see what I can do. But whatever it is, hopefully you'll be here with us. So thanks so much for hanging out. For myself and Mitch, this has been episode 196 of Divided by Werewolves. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, and we look forward to spending some time with you in the next 2 weeks. So for myself and Mitch, thank you again. A good night, and have a good one.